Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's a very simple thing. You know, people say, oh, this is all unconditional and et cetera, the love of God. And it's like, no, there are conditions we must meet. And they're not conditions that provoke God's love, but they are conditions which confirm his love towards us in our own minds because we see ourselves in obedience to him. If we do not hold fast our profession, then we will fail just like they failed in the wilderness. And I'm not, you know, and what love we had of God towards us, or seemed to have, you know, he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, Jesus said. Because there are things that we seem to have. There are things we seem to partake of. But if we do not wind up as heirs of salvation, we never had anything. We never had anything. Because God does not let things slip. He does not let his works slack off. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So verse 7 says, today, if you will hear his voice. Today is the most important day of our faith. It is the only day we can do anything about. We can do something about today. We can't do anything about tomorrow. Except what we can do today to prepare ourselves for tomorrow. But we can't really do anything about what's tomorrow. We can do things about today. We can't do anything about yesterday. Like I said, when the word goes out of your mouth, you say things. You can't take it back. You can verbally ask it back, and people can be gracious and forgive you, but what's done is done. It can't be literally unmade. It can't be literally undone. Today is the most important day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we obey God. Today is that day. It is the most important today. That's why Christ is our Sabbath, and our Sabbath is today. Today. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation, in the wilderness, the children of Israel tempted God. And he tempted them. Oh, well, you mean he tempted them? What are you saying? Well, God doesn't tempt people with evil. He doesn't tempt anybody. But when they're led away of their own lust, they're tempted. It's their lust that tempts them. But God led them into a place of temptation. He tested them in the wilderness. You know, one time someone pointed out to me that in James it says God does not tempt. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust. So there's a sense in which God does not tempt. But we also see a sense in which that he brings us out. He tests us, right? He proves us. But he does not, you know, dangle things before our eyes. He doesn't do it. Now, evil spirits might provoke temptation, and God lets them come. And circumstances might tempt us, and God brings us into those circumstances. But God does not tempt directly. That's the best way I can express it. So, he brought them into the wilderness, and brought them through these dry and desolate places, you know, until the point where they were afraid, we won't have enough to drink, we're going to die. Now, God brought them to a place of testing. He brought them to a place where they would fear that they would not have water to drink. Would they say, God, would you please give us water? Would they pray for it? Or what did they do? They started grumbling and complaining and fearing. and they did not trust the Lord. He brought us out into the wilderness to die, they began to say. And the same thing, they were thought they would starve. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, they started whoring after the golden calf. And when the daughters of the Moabites came in to seduce them, they fornicated with them and tempted the Lord's wrath. So, in the wilderness, you know, God brought about circumstances that tested them. He allowed things to come that he knew were tempting. And you know what? Many of them failed. They tempted him. They proved him and saw his work. So God passed the test. They failed the test. Now, howbeit, not all. As he says later on, I was grieved at them with that generation. And what it was is literally, it came to a point where when he asked them to enter into the land, they said they would not go. They were afraid of the giants. And so God swore that the whole generation would die in the wilderness. Everyone from a certain age upward would die, except for two men, Caleb and Joshua, because they they believed the Lord. Simple. They had faith because of their faith. And in fact, Paul gets to that. I probably should have just read his whole chapter here once again. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And that he meant enter into the land of Canaan. But there, as he says, well, he's going to say in Hebrews, and I'll leave it for then. Hopefully we'll just hearken back to this, okay? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's not be that way. Because you know what? If we are like that, as Paul said in another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the things that happened to them into the wilderness were examples to us upon whom the ends of the world are come. That, you know, we should not do the things they did. We should not have unbelief. But rather, and it doesn't mean that you never feel doubt or fear. But when you give yourself up to it, when you believe the fear and not God, you're tempting him. A lot of times I've said with my mouth, you know, I feel like God has forsaken me. I feel. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a feeling.